1-800-795-5950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Matt, Eric here. Eric, I'm not lying when I say this. This morning, I went out to walk my dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm walking down the street, I kept looking at the cars. It's like, was the frost that thick last night? Because I didn't see any, there was no snow or anything.
Yeah.
And there, I didn't think there was supposed to be snow, but I went up and checked. And indeed, at some point, some snow fell in Hopkins last night.
Oh, really?
Not much, but then it must have been really cold because then it froze on the cars. It wasn't frost. It was actually frozen snow. So, yeah, that's soul crusher right there, isn't it?
Yeah. At least let us get out of October.
Can we at least get the leaves changing yet? Mm-hmm. Come on. It was light. Don't worry. It's not like there's a winter storm warning for Hopkins and Hopkins alone. But it kind of was a stunner to me because that is early. That is really early. Hope you're having a good day. A lot to get to today. We have got a little bit later on. We are going to be giving away some tickets to Seavers Fall Festival. Of course, that's going on, a fantastic event that goes on down in Shakopee. We have a pair of tickets to give away today, tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday. I will let you know when to call in for those. That's going to be later on, all right? All right. But starting us off, we are going out to our Democrat of the day. We are heading out to 15A. Emmy Menzel is joining us. She is the DFL candidate trying to run for that seat, and she is kind enough to take some time to talk to us about her campaign. Emmy, thanks for the time.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, by all means. Thank you very much. Let's hear a little bit about who exactly is Emmy Menzel.
Well, I'm a very regular Minnesota girl, actually. I'm a wife and a mother, a small business owner. I like to write. I'm a dog lover. I love to spend a lot of time out in the outdoors. I like to camp, canoe, and fish, and swim and all the things like a Minnesota girl likes to do.
and you are in a fine district for that for sure. But what then prompted you, if I can ask, to say, you know what, I'm going to run for the Minnesota House this time around?
That is a good question. I really didn't have a lot of political ambitions. I was always a political junkie. But it was actually the proposal to mine in the Boundary Waters, or at the watersheds, I should say, that really got me my voice. You know, I felt that it wasn't being heard. And so I thought, you know what? If you can't listen to me as a voter, I'm going to knock on the door in St. Paul and see if you can hear me now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what really got the fire started. But now that I'm in it, there is just, you know, I love my community and I want to be part of the solution. And so I'm just doing my best.
Well, and you are doing your best. And the one thing I think is so important is, you know, you're running in a district that has, this has traditionally been conservative territory. But the reality is with this year, and we just saw some numbers from NBC and Marist that show, you know, Democrats are well out in the lead. I mean, you don't take anything for granted. But this is a year I think a lot of things are going to change in the state. Your district, as you talk about hunting and fishing, my goodness, you have a wonderful district for that. 15A, it starts just south of Princeton, correct? And then runs up to the lake, Mille Lacs?
Yes. Yep. All of Mille Lacs County, a little bit of Sherburne, and a little bit of Kanawha County.
Oh, that is some very good country to be in, that's for sure. And have you been out? I'm presuming you've been out doing a lot of the door knocking, because that's, I think, the difference this year. When I've talked to a lot of DFLers, they have said that the door knocking became a priority and they've been out doing it. Has that been for you the case?
I am doing a lot of door knocking, and I'm finding the number one, you know, concern of all the voters, it doesn't matter if you're Democratic or not, is that the health concern, you know, the health cost concerns, it's a really big deal. It affects everybody.
You know, and it's interesting, as yesterday they keep trying to say, oh, well, we're going to do something good for you. But the reality is yesterday he basically said we're not going to allow pre-existing conditions to be covered. You're talking about something. I mean, in a conservative district, you can understand why some people might have hope that, oh, well, our guy's promising better health care that's going to be less expensive. But the reality is that as 2 years have gone on And if not for a no vote from John McCain, they would have completely gotten rid of the Affordable Care Act in its entirety, and we wouldn't even have any health care whatsoever. I think that scared so many people, and even conservatives, that they're realizing that this is more than just a political party issue. This is something that I want to make sure I can at least get health care, whether or not I've got a pre-existing condition or not.
Absolutely. That's so scary, and that actually hits home. For me, my husband has diabetes, and that is a really, really expensive ailment to have. Insulin is super expensive. It's gone up over 200% just in the last 5 years. And it's just, it's an astronomical burden for many, many people who, I mean, it's a big deal. We need to give people the coverage that is usable. Right now, they're paying lots of money for just premiums, not to mention the high deductibles. And people are just not even going to the doctor because they can't afford to use the insurance that they've got. It's just unacceptable. We have to do something about it.
Well, and you said it exactly. I mean, whether it's EpiPens or insulin, these opportunists have gotten into these drug companies and these executive offices, and they are saying, well, they need it to survive, so they'll pay whatever they need to. And the reality is it's the reluctance to look at stuff like that, which is, that's bread and butter issues right there. Insulin is a pretty common drug. EpiPens. My wife is allergic to bee stings. Having an EpiPen now is an incredibly expensive thing. You know, it's the reluctance of the people that we've had in charge to understand that unless you're willing to tackle some of these cost issues, this is never going to be. The problem with healthcare in America is not quality. We have the best healthcare on the planet. It's accessibility. And if we don't have accessibility or the ability to buy a life-saving medication or drug that we all need for something that doesn't require us to question if we're going to have food this week, I think that that's a big problem.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's even cases of people rationing their insulin and, you know, having horrible, disastrous consequences. And that's not, I don't want to live in a nation that you have to go fund me or die. That's just not some place that I think is acceptable, and which is another reason why I'm running.
Amen on that. That's for sure. Let's talk a little bit about education issues. I have been one of the most staunch supporters. The current system we have in place statewide is broken. It doesn't work for rural districts. It doesn't work for medium-sized towns. It doesn't work for the suburbs. Well, it works for the suburbs to a point, but it doesn't work for the inner city. The inner city doesn't work. And the problem is this, especially in rural parts of the state, is this constant say, well, if you need money, just have a referendum. That's an ineffective way to fund education, especially when you're having a very limited amount of population that you have to appeal to. I'm presuming this is the same thing. This is a thing we've heard quite a bit. I'm presuming that's the same exact thing they've had up in 15A, right?
Absolutely. And we have an older population as well. So a lot of people are on fixed incomes. So when their property taxes go up, it really hits them hard, you know. And then they are by eyeballing in Social Security, which is a federal issue. But at the same time, people are pretty scared about that. So schooling, we need to make sure that those mandates are covered by those state funds that are available instead of asking, you know, putting more burden on the counties and homeowners. There's options. We just need to use them.
Absolutely. And when you're looking at a farmer whose margins are, minimal $25,000-$26,000 a year, saying, hey, we need another $2,000 because the school building. And the thing which is interesting, if you go talk to the farmers, and I know you can talk about this, you talk to the farmers, they'll tell you, oh, I know the school needs to be updated, but we can't afford to give him the money.
Right. Yep. Mm. Yep. I agree with that as well. And you know what else I think, too, is we need to work on higher education costs. You know, when I went to school, we could afford, we had Pell Grants, we had, you know, a lot of options for assistance through the state. And now our kids are graduating with, like, mortgages worth of debt, and they can't get along with their lives. They can't buy cars, they can't start a family or buy a house or, geez, even a washer and dryer, because they're up to, you know, over their heads in student loan debt. And that's, it didn't used to be that way, and we need to change that as well.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, they used to be. I mean, there are some fine colleges here that are very expensive in the state of Minnesota. McAllister, very expensive college. You know, St. Thomas, St. Olaf. I mean, these are some more expensive colleges, and those were always options. The University of Minnesota and its system and other colleges were supposed to be affordable options for most people, and we've gotten to the point where, you know, the wealthy colleges are for the obscenely wealthy. Most of the regular colleges, you mean, yeah, you're right. You've got to anticipate graduating with, you know, 20 years worth of debt payments to go with just to get clear. And then the only other option is either a tech school or a community college. And a lot of those times, those credits, A, don't transfer, and B, that they're not really an applicable, a job program within those organizations that might affect your community. So I think you're right. We have to look at higher education because You can't have a portion of your population walking out with a lifetime worth of debt. You just can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then they can't contribute to society, you know, because, you know, all they're doing is paying all their money down to their student loans. They're not, you know, starting businesses. They're not starting families. They're, you know, it needs to change.
Emmy Menzel is joining us right now. Democrat of the day, 15A. I hear you're a big fan of the Legacy Amendment.
I am a big fan of the Legacy Amendment, and you know why? It's because the people voted for it. The people voted to protect the Minnesota that they know and love for future generations, the sportsmen, the outdoor nature lovers. Like, we knew that these were what the funds were going for, and we said, yes, we want to preserve Minnesota. So trying to pilfer those funds for other things is basically a slap in the face to voters. And that is not what a representative is supposed to do. A representative is supposed to listen to what the voters want and proceed as they've asked you to do. So I really think that we need to make sure that we keep the Legacy Amendment intact the way that it is.
Well, and we had Pawlenty went out there and raided the smoker, the smoking agreement that we had, the settlement there. And you can't just do that. And I agree with you. The Legacy Amendment, the Republicans insisted it was a waste of our time. It got passed, and it got passed overwhelmingly. And Republicans ever since then have been drooling about divvying up that money primarily for tax breaks for their wealthiest. And the reality is that, you know, unless we get a Democratic majority in that House, they're going to try to figure out another way to do it.
Right, and let me tell you another reality is that almost half of our water here in Minnesota is too polluted to eat the fish out of or even swim in.
Yep.
Half of our water in 10,000 lakes, I guess it's 11,000 something, but that is a really big deal. We are taking for granted our resources, and we need to start opening our eyes around the nation, like what is happening around us. There is, you know, look at Flint, look at California, like there's proposals to want to send a water pipeline out of Lake Superior, and here we want to try and maybe mine where we shouldn't be mining, you know. So we need to pay attention to what is going around us, and, you know, notice our blessings and really preserve our resources, because they might not be there if we don't.
I will fight to the end to make sure they don't start pipelining water out of Superior or the Great Lakes as a whole, because that's just a, you know, solve your own problem, you know, or maybe not go move someplace where there's no water. I mean, I hate saying it like that, but I don't mean cold, but, you know, you start doing
let's
that.
Let's not poison it. Let's not poison ourselves.
No, well, and let's get back to why you're running here, because I couldn't agree with you more. When you talk about this sulfur mining that they want to do up there, it has never been done environmentally safe. They keep saying we're going to be environmentally safe. It has never been done that way. It has toxified the air.
90% failure rate.
And the failure rate means the containment areas they have fail. And so, I mean, it doesn't mean that other 10% was clean. It just means they didn't oopsie that one. But, you know, when you talk about...
So I'm not against mining, though. I want you to know I'm not against mining at all. You know, I was born on the Iron Range. So, but the thing is that this is our water we're talking about. And with a 90% failure rate, and not to mention the jobs that the northern Minnesota, like those lakes and the Boundary Waters and Lake Superior, if those waters are poisoned, people are not going to want to come and play in those lakes and in those areas.
Nope.
We will devastate the region, and we should just really be careful and let those environmental reviews go through and not push them through. And, you know, the national environmental deregulation that's going on is scary, scary stuff. You have to stand up. You know, we all for mining.
Mining is good, but there is nothing wrong with saying, has it been done environmentally safe? Yes. Okay, great. Then you have to do it, you know, environmentally safe. Has it been done environmentally safe? No. Well, if we go forward with this, we're going to have, first of all, some assurances that it's not going to be a toxic mess, and you're going to clean up your mess if you make it, because I imagine, I'm going to be honest, if you put that provision in there that they have to clean up anything they leave behind, they won't even start digging, because they
want... It doesn't matter. All around the world, that's like a thing that that corporations do. They make a mess, they declare bankruptcy, and they leave it for tax repairs to clean up.
Yep.
I'm not allowing that.
Nope. It's and you can be for mining, and you can be against sulfur mining, that's for sure. And once again, the Republicans, we should make sure we mention, as all of them now are screaming, oh, I'm for safe mining, the reality is they tried to undo the water standards in the state of Minnesota. Not for any other reason outside of they want to allow a toxified mine. And so they know it's going to leak. They know it's going to be bad. They know the public's going to find out about it. And so they're trying to get rid of the standards as opposed to actually hold them accountable.
Right. And who does that represent? That doesn't represent the voters. It doesn't represent people.
Big Brazilian mining.
Yeah.
Big Chinese mining. It did. Canadian miners and European mine. That's who they're representing. They don't give a rat's caboose about us, that's for sure, when it comes to this mine. And that's, I agree with you. I mean, of all the things that have happened in the last 2 years, the fact that these Republicans have gone, you know, full bore into basically saying we're going to allow the most toxic type of mining to happen in one of the most pristine wildernesses in this country is an absolute disaster.
Right. And so then what we also have is we have, like, what is it, 3% of the world's water is actually drinkable water, and we hold 10% of it, of that 3%, here in Minnesota, in our Great Lakes and in our boundary waters. So why are we doing that? Why would we do that when really, like I said, all around the world we're having water problems, when that water could be worth gold, you know, but not if it's poisoned. And it's not just poisoned for a little bit. It's poisoned for 500 years. Poisoned.
Yeah, there is no cut in that timeline. There isn't. And as Emmy said earlier, they've had a 90% failure rate. The other 10% just haven't failed yet. And they don't know what else to do with it. So, yeah, it's a bad deal. We need Emmy in St. Paul. It would be fantastic to have Emmy Menzel for 15A. This is the point, Emmy, where I make the plea to everyone out there. If you're listening to me right now, help your local Democrat by all means. But if you're in a relatively safe district, take some time, go north, 169 through Princeton, up into 15A. It's beautiful country up there. I'm presuming you've got 4 weekends of door knocking going on here, and we need to maximize every one of those weekends, correct?
We sure do. We are always looking for help. You can contact us on emmyforhouse.com, like our Facebook page. And we're always looking for help and volunteers.
Emmy for House, EmyForHouse.com. EmmyForHouse.com. I'll link to everything on social media a little bit later on. Emmy Menzel, 15A, Democrat of the Day. Emmy, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. All my best.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
You take care. Love her passion. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. And that mining, if you can't tell, that's one to my heart as well. Like Emmy Menzel. She's a good Democrat of the day for sure. We'll come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Connie Buerk, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. If you have a desire to live a life that is more than what you are currently experiencing, if you feel stuck or experiencing health concerns, maybe you're curious about ways to improve your life, then Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show will give you new perspectives and ways to take steps to change your life. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into your life. For more information, visit us at awakenedlivinginfusion.com.
As we head into fall, get your vehicle service done at Rudy Luther Toyota. Regardless of where you've purchased your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is your number one destination for auto service and repair. routine maintenance, or a larger repair, easily schedule your appointment on their website, RudyLutherToyota.com. That's RudyLutherToyota.com. They're fast, courteous, and they get the job done right. And considering my schedule, I trust them. Get your vehicle ready for the cooler weather with a trip to Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Litton's Party Value has moved 1 mile north. Getting to Litton's Party Value is easy. Google 913 Plymouth Avenue North. Litton's Party Value's new location has the same great fun, party, holiday celebration supplies. Visit our Halloween section for your Halloween party and decorations and costumes too. Litton's Party Value has the selection, the quantities, and the low warehouse pricing you love. Visit our new location, 913 Plymouth Avenue North. Yes, free parking, or shop online, partyvalue.com.
Emmy Menzel, top-notch candidate, 15A. That's a tough district, but you know what? It's twofold. Wouldn't it be sensational if we got a few of those to flip? Oh, abso-freaking-lutely it would be. Oh, you want to give Republicans nightmares for generations to come. I mean, you can turn it into like 1930, 1932, where, you know, FDR basically, you know, he took over a good chunk of the country. The Democrats did after the Republicans screwed things up as bad as they did. But, you know, it would be great to turn it over. But as well, it is important. If we're challenging there, that's money they have to spend in that district. Shonda Erickson is a Republican up there. She is not expecting to have to spend any money or time or knock on any doors. They want to take it for granted and shift any money that she might have to other districts, especially that 13th Senate race. Well, if you make her have to be honest and have to spend money there, that's less money going around. And trust me right now. Republicans, their backers are about to take a bath this year. They're going to take a bath on how much money they are just throwing away. And let them do it. Knock themselves out. 952-946-6205. There was some interesting numbers that came on out. NBC Marist, they basically put out a Minnesota-only poll that looks pretty positive for Democrats. This story is out of MinnPost. According to the poll, DFL gubernatorial nominee Tim Walz leads Republican Jeff Johnson 55-38. That would be, 17 points. If you want to know the truth, okay. Every other poll they've said has shown it closer. But even the Star Tribune NPR poll had it 46-36. So it was a 10-point lead there. Now it's showing to be a 17-point lead. Jeff Johnson's a tall glass of skim milk, for God's sakes. I mean, it's not exactly Johnny Excitement there on the ticket. And Walz, if you haven't seen this, Walz just did a magnificent thing where he's taking on Trump. Apparently Trump, because he's still a sitting House member and he's still on the Veteran Affairs Committee, Trump apparently is running the VA with three of his buddies who have not been appointed. They've been unannounced. They're three guys that are living in Mar-a-Lago that are running the VA. And they say, oh, no, that's not true. Well, the emails show that they're making all the calls for the VA. And Walz is not having any of this. So, you know, Tim Walz, I mean, I've always said he's one of a handful of politicians I trust with veterans issues. He is magnificent. And I really do appreciate him on the veteran side of things. He's also overall just a top-notch candidate when compared to what the Republicans are putting out. So that doesn't surprise me. But I want you to remember this, 46-36, okay? Next up, let's go to the Karen Housley-Tina Smith race. NBC Science Tina Smith well ahead of Republican Karen Housley, 54-38%, all right? 54-38. The Strip NPR poll had it at 44-37, within 7 points. Not a toss-up, but a lot closer. 16-point lead. Is unlikely to disappear in the 4 weeks remaining until Election Day. All right? So, if that's true. I was concerned about Karen Housley outside of just say Democrats are evil. I mean, what else has she put forward? Seriously, I mean, it's what else? I mean, if you are running for a U.S. Senate seat in an age where, I mean, you haven't put anything out as talked about how I would have gone against Brett Kavanaugh. I disagreed with the process. I wouldn't have done this. You haven't done anything. You basically had one ad where you said, I'm different. I'm a Republican. Here's my husband. And you're like, okay, that's nothing. I don't know. I think it's somewhere between those two. I think it's somewhere between a 7 and 16 point lead, but I still think Tina Smith is leading that race. Amy Klobuchar is got a firm lead. Once again, I think, can we make the call right now? Yes, I think we can. Amy Klobuchar is winning herself another term as senator of the state of Minnesota. Neuberger is just not, he's not there. Now, when you look at the numbers and you look at how they break down, I want to point out Housley is polling at 38%. Johnson is polling at 38%. But Neuberger is only polling at 33%. And by the way, the numbers on Klobuchar, Neuberger, 63-33. That's a 30-point race. I still have him pegged at 20. I mean, I'm serious. I think he's going to be 20. But I think the most interesting element of that is this. Neuberger, there's a reason I call Neuberger the racist representative from Becker. He went on the House floor and he made a racist comment. I have heard from numerous people that there have been some other questionable things that he has said in his past. And he has fully embraced Trump, a man who himself says there are good Nazis and good KKK members and good white supremacists. So Neuberger has got this stink of potential racism on him. He does. And not potential. I mean, he made the racist comment on the House floor, and he never apologized for it. But he made the racist comment on the House floor. So he has this stink of racism on him. Now, it's not a surprise. The Republican Party has welcomed in actual Nazis are running under the Republican banner right now in this country. Multiple Nazis. But if you want to see how much being a racist or being perceived as a racist hurts you within the Republican Party, just look at these numbers. Housley, she's not racist, but she tolerates racists. She's at 38. Johnson, he's not racist, but he tolerates racists. He's at 38. Neuberger's at 33. In the Republican Party today, if you do racist things, all you do is lose 5 points.
I'm surprised it doesn't help him, honestly.
That's all you do is lose 5 points. You lost 5 points, that's it. 33% of the state, I like the cut of that man's jib. I said for years that racists and idiots voted for Trump, and there's a heck of a lot of racists. What this shows me is that it's far more than I ever dreamed. Because if the difference in these polls is only 5 points, that would mean only 5% of the Republican Party doesn't seem to go along with them. And I guarantee you this, all the rest of these Republican numbers are going to line up with 38, unless they've got some racist background. And I guarantee you'll probably be down about 33 because that's your Republican Party today. It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter to them. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake. We served our country like those before us.
The camaraderie is what kept me going. You know, it was a dangerous era. All of Vietnam was dangerous.
I didn't know what to expect when I got back.
For the first 10 years after I got out, no one would have known that I was in the service.
I got home, got married 2 weeks later, got a job.
We came back, built lives, families, and communities, but we still had challenges.
The carnage of war left an indelible mark on me.
I would have intrusive thoughts. They're horrible nightmares.
Services and support that can help are available for veterans.
I went to the VA, talked to my doctor.
I started doing groups. I started doing one-on-one counseling.
We found ways to move past these challenges for ourselves and for our families. At MakeTheConnection.net, you can hear our stories and find tools and services available to you.
The more I talk to people, family, friends, other vets, the better I feel.
Robert Burrill here, host of the show Laughing Matters, brought to you as always by Stand Up Records. Check them out online at standuprecords.com. Laughing Matters is now on Saturdays from 7 to 8 p.m. and the show will be pre-taped, which means that I can swear and say words like and as always, it'll feature some of the funniest comedians in the Twin Cities talking about the latest news and current events, and it's an hour of nonstop laughs you won't want to miss. And it's only on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Today, cloudy with a high near 38. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 28. And Friday, partly sunny with a high near 45. This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Hazel's Northeast. They have classically inspired, creatively prepared comfort food. Scratch dishes rooted in over 50 years of family tradition that are healthy, hearty, and beautifully served. Located at 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis, find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the week, Hazel's Northeast. Fantastic place. Absolutely wonderful. Had some breakfast over there today. Just wonderful. Biscuits and gravy are very tasty. Good coffee, too. Local coffee. You can enjoy it over on 29th and Johnson, Northeast Minneapolis. It is Hazel's Northeast, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. 952-946-6205. Reminder, not only can you watch us today on Facebook, but we are up on Twitter as well. No YouTube today, but on Twitter and on Facebook, you can watch the show. On the Twitter, it's AM 950 Radio, and on Facebook, it's AM 950 Radio. Ta-da! We're original. All right. So as we did our thing with Dwayne Quam, of course, Dwayne Quam, the angry guy. That's Dwayne Quam for you. He looks like a guy that would try to wrestle the microphone out of someone else's hands. I mean, he looks like that guy.
Yeah, my favorite part is when it's clear that knows he made a mistake, and he just kind of tosses the microphone. He doesn't want to hand it back.
Oh, I got riled up. Yeah, you're an idiot. How about I say that? You're a jerk. How about I say it like that? Anyway, and by the way, we did have his, Jamie Mahlberg, we had her on as Democrat of the Day. She was one of our first Democrats of the Day back in May. And so you can go listen to her Democrat of the Day. It's over on the Democrat of the Day playlist over on SoundCloud. You can listen to her there. But why not take another look out into outstate Minnesota and see what those wacky Republicans are up to, shall we? From an League of Women Voters forum hosted by Park Rapids Area Chapter in a state, Representative tackles a variety of issues. Shannon Giesen reports for the Park Rapids Enterprise, a host of questions focused on the environment. A natural environment is very important to voters. And in these districts, what are your plans for prioritizing the environment, and how can we get various groups like farmers, industry, et cetera, to work together? And Green said, now this is Steve Green, Republican for the area. The Green said the question implies that people aren't working together. That is simply not true. He said, we asked farmers to cut back on nitrogen, and they did, and received the benefits of it. We asked industry to take certain changes. This is startling news to Blue Stem Prairie, which posted the story. Since Green has been a leader in invoking figurative riot act about nitrogen rules in Minnesota, on March 15th, Sessions Daily Jonathan Moore reported an agricultural committee begins debate on proposed nitrogen rules. When Governor Dayton Proposed new rules to reduce nitrate levels in the state's drinking water on March 6th. Leaders of the House Agricultural Committees responded quickly, issuing a joint statement that urged the governor to abandon his efforts and enforce this unpopular proposition. These controversial nitrate rules were the focus of the House Agricultural Policy Committee meeting Thursday as administration officials, and once again, this is back a few months ago, administration officials appeared to explain Dayton's proposal, even as members considered one bill that would hamper its adoption, another would stop it altogether. Sponsored by Representative Jeff Backer, Republican from Browns Valley, would prohibit the Department of Agriculture from adopting the rules. Another bill by Senator Mark Johnson, Republican from East Grand Forks, awaits action in the Senate Agricultural Committee. That's basically saying that it would basically not allow the bill to be brought forth. A bill sponsored by Representative Steve Green, Republican from Fauston, would prohibit the department from adopting the rules altogether. Its companion Senate file is sponsored by Senate Paul Utke from Park Rapids and also awaits action in the Senate. Agricultural Commissioner Dave Fredrickson gave the committee an overview of the process. This is what the Republicans have come down to. This is where the Republicans are at today. They have to completely turn their entire legacy around. Because as Steve Green is trying to make it sound like, oh, I have been willing to try to limit nitrogen rules, the minute they actually tried to limit nitrogen in the environment, he went ballistic trying to pass bills that forbade the governor from even proposing the idea. That's not working with the other side. That is just being a belligerent jackass and basically now realizing that your policies and your stances don't really make it too easy to vote for you. So now all of a sudden you're just trying to rewrite history and act as if, I was just on the neutral side of things. No, you weren't. Absolutely not. 952-946-6205. Brad is in Robbinsdale. Welcome on in, Brad.
Oh, yes, calling from Robbinsdale, or as we call it, East Seattle. But anyway, I don't know whether I should be amused and encouraged that the Republicans are bringing out these old tropes like George Soros and the luxury office building in St. Paul that, again, taxpayers
who
the bill for.
Brad, who brought that up? Brad.
Spend liberals
hey,
to,
Brad.
Enjoy the high life.
Brad, who brought that up again?
Oh, it's on one of the ads here.
Oh, my.
I think it's actually a local ad. And I think
Sarah Anderson?
A person running for the state legislature. But I don't know. I don't quite recall. But I was just really amused to see that. And again, I mean, people are paying for, again, that indoor putting range, the spa, the five-star restaurant, the IMAX theater over there for, you know, these tax and spend liberals.
Wow. Brad, you bring up a very good point because I've noticed this too. There's a lot of dipping into the well, and thank you very much, Brad. I appreciate the phone call. There is a lot of dipping into the well of history here because the Republicans have got a very large problem when it comes to this campaign. And this is, I mean, it's highlighted by Steve Green. They cannot run on their record because they have promised better health care, cheaper health care. They have promised, we're going to take care of the environment. And they have done everything that they have done is the complete opposite of what they promised. But what they have, this is why they're so desperate to get open Ellison's divorce files, is because they don't have anything else to run against these guys on. And once again, there's not saying that there is anything bad in the Ellison divorce files, but that's why these people are there. And once again, it's because they don't have any other avenue to go down. So they're going back to George Soros, and I saw a few Hillary Clinton references. I hadn't seen the state office building. You mean the one that all the Republican senators are in? Gee willikers. Yeah, they sure hate it, don't they? Wow. And part of the problem is this is a party. Let me take a step back here. The NBA basketball had a heck of a time the first time Michael Jordan retired because the entire league was Michael Jordan and the rest. It was. And then after he retired, they all realized, oh, we haven't developed any other superstar players as major media personalities. Minnesota Twins. It's Joe Mauer and everyone else. They haven't created Twins fans. They've created Joe Mauer's fans who happen to like the Twins uniform. And if Mauer retires, there's nowhere else to go. These Republicans kind of did the same thing. It was all Obama and Clinton. And now that they're both out of the way, they're like, Keith Ellison? And they don't really have, I mean, because they can't hide anymore. And that is what they have been using. They used Obama and Clinton to hide behind. They didn't ever have to deliver because they would walk up to the door and say, Hillary Clinton. And that's what they would do. Now they don't have those things. And so it's Senate office building. You know, Minlars? Is Minlars bad? You guys don't like Minlars, right? This is why, and by the way, and I don't know, the ruling's supposed to come down by tomorrow on the Ellison divorce court, whether they're going to open it up. It didn't sound like, I don't know. I mean, the reality is I would have a hard time believing that if two people had petitioned to have the record sealed and neither one of them wanted it opened again and the sealing had been granted, I don't think two media outlets just snooping around to try to find some kind of, you know, dirt is enough to open up those files. I don't think it is. But that's why they're going after Ellison as bad as they are, because they have nothing else. So the Republican Party, once again, let's go back to that 38 to 33% that you can have someone who's a notorious racist or someone who has made racist statements, and they're still going to get a large portion of the vote in Minnesota. They are, from Republicans, not from anyone else, just from Republicans. Well, that's why they're going after Ellison, is because they know that they won't alienate too much of their base by saying, black guy, Muslim guy, angry black Muslim guy. They don't have any problem with that. So that's, they don't really have anywhere else to go. One other story I want to get to here. Oh, Tim Miller has been in trouble. This is Representative Tim Miller from Prinsburg. In Minnesota House 17A, 17B candidates speak to voters. West Central Tribune reporters Shelby Linrud reported Miller was late to the forum and did not have the opportunity for an open statement, along with missing the first two questions on child care and rural transit. Miller first made an appearance at the governor's forum held at MinWest Technology Campus before arriving at his own forum. I was late to class, Miller said when he arrived. Heaven forbid I had talked to my own constituents. I was out watching the governor's debate. Wow. The bromance with Jeff Johnson continued into the next day. Both men toured the shuttered private prison owned by CoreCivic in Appleton. While Miller calls leasing or buying the facility a no-brainer, MP reported in January leasing private Appleton prison would be costly. It would be costly. It'd cost a heck of a lot more than if the state ran it. Just saying, there is nothing that will be cheaper than the state running it itself. There will be nothing that's cheaper. Because when you bring in a private business, the first thing you have to pay is profit. So, the report, Tom Cervani had more from the Forum News Service breaking down the cost. There are now price tags in Minnesota for either purchase, upgrade, or operate the Prairie Correctional Facility in Appleton. A newly released architectural assessment of the facility in far west central Minnesota for the state legislature to determine the total project cost for the state to purchase and upgrade the prison to meet state needs would be totaling $139 million. So, needless to say, if that's their big issue is the prison, that's not a really big issue, and that's not going to be a private contractor, you basically with the, you know, it almost seems like human rights problems. I don't know if it's a good idea. But needless to say, Tim Miller has an event where he's supposed to speak to his constituents, and he doesn't show up until later. What does it tell you? If you're in his district, what does it tell you? Wow. There you go. It's your party. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hey, let's give away some Seavers Fall Festival tickets. Why not? Caller number five at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Caller fine, you're going to win a pair of tickets. If you haven't won in 2 years, all right, let's let some other people get a chance here. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Longer if I can. At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and much more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for AM 950 listeners. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484. That's 651-447-4484.
The Fall St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running October 12th, 13th, and 14th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you'll have a chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 300 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 30 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for you to own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with a free transit pass. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at the stpaulartcrawl.org. That's the stpaulartcrawl.org.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, white privilege, racial injustice.
Whites have so many undeserved advantages over blacks.
Like not being harassed or killed by cops because of race.
That's one example.
But injustice for blacks isn't the same as privilege for whites.
No white privilege, no racial injustice.
No racial injustice, no white privilege.
White privilege, racial injustice. Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jason in White Bear Lake, congratulations, Jason. You have won yourself a pair of tickets to Seavers Fall Festival. Now, here's the great deal. Seavers Fall Festival is open tomorrow, 1 to 8, Saturday, 10 to 8, and then Sunday, 10 to 6. Next week, it's MEA week in Minnesota, which means they've got extended hours, because not only are they open on the Saturday and the Sunday, they're open on Thursday the 18th from 10 to 6, Friday the 19th from 10 until 8. So jump on out there in Shakopee. It is a fantastic place to go. An annual tradition for me and my family. Seavers Fall Festival. Congratulations, Jason in White Bear Lake. You'll have a chance to win tickets in as well. That is going to be coming up here tomorrow and then a Monday and Tuesday. 952-946-6205. Jeff is in Cambridge. Let me get him in here or try to get him in before I get to my final point. Welcome on in, Jeff.
Yeah. Hi, Matt. Jeff from Cambridge. I just recently moved here from St. Louis Park, and quite a different political scene.
Yeah, a little bit.
There's been an S storm here in the newspapers locally about some racist comments that were made, and somebody called a guy on the racist comments, and he says, well, they weren't racist. And the problem is that he's not the arbiter of who decides. If you're directing comments to somebody, you can't tell them how they're supposed to receive it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And their argument is, because you heard me say it, you're really the racist. I'm not the racist for just saying what I said.
Right. You know, and it goes to the Kaepernick issue. They want to tell Kaepernick and others like him that you're disgracing the flag, when no, that's not what he said he was doing.
No.
And they don't get to tell him what they were actually, his words were, or what his meaning was.
What I want you to do, Jeff, if you go up to my Facebook page, and Jeff, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. If you go to my Facebook page, there is a photo I have posted up there. I want you to copy and print out and show to your friends that bring up the Kaepernick issue respecting the flag. And that is a picture of Trump having a rally, and standing behind him is a girl, a little girl wearing the flag as a cape and wiping her schnoz with it. Multiple times she did this. So when these Republicans talk about, we always respect the flag, no, you don't. Not even close. Really quick, yeah, let's get Gary. We'll let Gary come on. Gary, go ahead. It's all on you, man.
I want to talk about them darn Republicans again. They're privatizing our Medicare. You know, they're at Medicare Advantage. That's the insurance company. Put the profit motive more and more into our Medicare. That was Rotten Ronnie that started Medicare Advantage. That's the insurance company, not the government health care. And I got a letter in the mail today, Medicare.com, said, urging you call. I called, and I looked at the fine print. There's insurance companies. It has nothing to do with the Medicare itself. It hasn't even reviewed it. And I said, I don't want nothing to do with you guys, you know. And I said, I won't take it unless I have to, you know. And I got an agent that's going to help me get something else if I can.
Beautiful.
So this is a profit motive in our Medicare.
Well, I hope you get set up there. Okay there, Gary? Thanks, Gary, for the phone call. 952-946-6205. Longtime Republican operative who spent the final months of his life seeking out thousands of Hillary Clinton's deleted emails developed a relationship with President Donald Trump's former national security advisor, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, as early as 2015. Now, that is news. It had not been known that he had developed this early. The CNBC story, the Wall Street Journal reported as well on Wednesday, citing people familiar with the matter, that operative Peter Smith had told associates in 2016 presidential campaign that he was using Flynn's connections to help him track down the emails the paper reported. An investment banker and Republican fundraiser, Smith died in an apparent suicide in 2017. Flynn pleaded guilty in late 2017 to lying to investigators about contacts he'd had with Russian government officials and has been cooperating with special counsel Robert Mueller since then. He is due to be sentenced in December. Mueller, whose office declined to comment, is investigating whether Trump campaign had improper contacts with the Russians. By the way, if you haven't seen it, here's the other news for you. The Trump campaign is arguing you have to dismiss this because what they did when they released the emails was freedom of speech. And their argument is, well, we didn't steal them. We only released them because they were newsworthy, which is the first time that they're now admitting that they know that they had never said, oh, we have no idea where they came from. Now they're admitting they released the emails. And by the way, this whole argument that you didn't get them, I don't know if that works. One witness familiar with the White House had an attorney for Flynn did not respond to requests for comment. Mueller's prosecution is interested in whether anyone at Trump's orbit assisted Smith in his search for Clinton's emails, according to the Journal. One witness familiar with the search has called before a grand jury, the paper reported, and a grand jury subpoena sought out documents related to Smith's hunt. The quest for Clinton's emails drew Smith to the anti-secrecy organization WikiLeaks, an anti-secrecy group which U.S. investigators have said was used by Russian intelligence services to disrupt the presidential election. The Journal said that in its December 2016 email, Smith told supporters that he found multiple individuals who possessed Clinton's emails and directed at least one of them to provide those emails to WikiLeaks. The nature of Smith's death has raised some suspicion. Now, once again, if he had made a contact with Michael Flynn, that would be connection to the Trump campaign directly. And now the report is he was connected to Flynn back in 2015. So this was well before the campaign really even got going. So now, and of course, then he was a mysterious Russian-like suicide, which the nature of Smith's deaths have raised some suspicion. He was found dead in a hotel in Minnesota. It was down in Rochester. Days after telling the Wall Street Journal in an interview that he had been seeking Clinton's emails from Russian hackers, a suicide note found near him said, no foul play whatsoever, in big capital letters. No foul. He wrote that in his suicide letter. It also, my guess would be, it said, classiest, best suicide letter ever. Quality suicide letter. The reporter who interviewed Smith later wrote in a tweet that he saw no indication that he was ill or planning to take his own life. In June, it was made public via court filing that an attorney known for work with violent crimes cases had joined the Mueller probe. So, I'm going to be honest with you. I think that, indeed, Peter Smith was killed by someone. I mean, it's speculation, but it's not a huge jump. Because it is, right. He knew Flynn way back when, well before the campaign got going. Flynn basically helped him use his contacts to get in touch with the Russians. He said he had tracked down that information, told the Wall Street Journal 4 days later he's dead, with a note saying, "Don't ask any questions about the suicide," basically. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, Trump has learned a lot from the Russians, hasn't he? We got Hunter and Eric in next. Oh, my God. Standards, people. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.